Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, as we continue in your presence this morning, we do praise you afresh and give you thanks for all that you've done for us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus, for the blessings that we have received in and through him because of his work that he's done on the cross for our sins, to save us, to reconcile us to you. We are a tremendously blessed people. And we thank you this morning, Father, for Tracy and Ashley, for the work of grace that you've done in their lives, drawing them to yourself, and for moving them, Lord, to follow you through the waters of baptism, to identify with Christ as Savior and Lord. We pray your blessings upon them and upon each, Lord, of our members and adherents here in this church as they love you and serve you and minister, Lord, your grace and your gospel to a world around us that so desperately needs, Lord, to really understand and know the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God that's available in Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have as your people. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings on our community and the ministry of this church as it continues to go forth, that, Lord, you will lead others, the ones and twos, to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We would remember, Lord, this morning, those that have needs among us. Some, Lord, who are going through challenging times. Maybe it's through a situation that's going on in home or at work or in life. Maybe it's some things that have haunted them in the past. We pray, Lord, that you would set them free. Maybe it's physical infirmity or a trial of some sort. Whatever it is, Lord, there are many needs that are represented here among your people. And we would ask, Lord, that you would minister by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. For maybe one, it might be the need to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So we ask, Lord, whatever it might be, that your Spirit will move and work among us and direct our minds and our hearts, Lord, to the throne of grace, so that there we might find not only your truth, but also, Lord, your relief and your ministry, of which only you can do. Touch every head and every heart that's bowed this morning, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the thanks. For Jesus' sake and in his name we ask it. Amen. The word grace is a word that we often find in the Bible, and we talk about grace a lot in church. We've been singing about it this morning, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And I think for some people, we might ask the question this morning, what exactly is grace? Our definition, or one definition I like, is grace is getting what you don't deserve. And in a way, that's true. We deserve judgment, but by God's grace, he gives us forgiveness and mercy. But that definition can be a little bit vague. There's a better way to have defined grace, and that's to see, I believe, grace in action. And so this morning, with the Lord's help and this story that was read to us, we want to look at grace in action, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. Now, this story has two main characters. There's King David, of course. We all know about the stories of David, how he came out of the pastures as a shepherd boy to gain national prominence by killing the Philistine Goliath. He was a great warrior, one who had been called and set aside by God, and he became the king of Israel after Saul's fall. Now, his best friend had been Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son, and he and David, they were like two peas in a pod. They were closer than brothers. And when Saul was trying to kill David, Jonathan helped David escape. And before David left that last time, he and Jonathan had made a covenant together. And the covenant is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And Jonathan said, "If I am still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever, when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So David would always try to take care of Jonathan and Jonathan's family, even after Jonathan was dead. And so that's the quick story of David up to the point of our scripture passage this morning. And now we have Mephibosheth. I think I got it right. Mephibosheth. I've had to practice just like Claire this week to say that. Mephibosheth. We first hear of Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, she probably fled with him because of the Philistines, and they didn't want to be destroyed by them. And a tragic accident happened. It may have been that he broke both of his legs. She had fallen with him, and he became lame. But Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And his father and grandfather were killed in battle with the Philistines. And she got this news, and she was going to hide out to keep him from being killed. And of course, this tragedy occurred, this fall, this injury to Mephibosheth's feet, so badly that he was disabled in his feet for the rest of his life. And so by the time of our passage, Mephibosheth is in Lo Debar, which means without pasture, desolate, or barren. That was the place that he was in. And he's living in the middle of nowhere without any hope. At this time, he's about 17 or 18 years old. He was from the royal family, the royal stock, let's say, of Saul's descendants. He should have been a prince or even a king, but he was out in a barren place, a faraway place. He was forgotten, and he was disabled. He had no hope. He had no future. He was just wasting away in this dreadful life until one slow day after another kept repeating itself. And now to the events of the story this morning, I need to move on. David had not forgotten his promise to Jonathan. That's the key right there. David was faithful. Faithful to the promise they had made to Jonathan. And he asks around. Now, this was quite some time, about 13 years or so. What was David waiting for? Well, you know, after these wars and so forth, David had to kind of establish himself, clean up the mess, so to speak. And it took some time to settle the kingdom and to get it to the place of where it was. But he never forgot about Jonathan's son, and he asks around, is he still alive? And he's told that Mephibosheth is disabled, he's crippled. And Mephibosheth's condition didn't deter David's commitment to the covenant. That didn't matter to him. He said he didn't care what kind of shape that Mephibosheth was in. I want him brought to the palace. Find him. I want him brought to the palace. And Mephibosheth, we read in the text, he comes and he's scared to death when he got to David. Why? Well, it was the custom in the ancient Near East at that time that your rival, the king, the one that had been defeated, all of the male descendants were to be slain and cut off. You didn't want to have any of them left over that would try to lay claim to your throne. So Mephibosheth probably thought, well, it's the end of the line for me. I'm done like dinner. And he come before David, and he was fearful. And he laid out on the floor and paid reverence to him, not knowing what was going to happen to him. And here David comes along and he blesses him. Above anything he could have imagined, he thought it was a death sentence for him. But now he's blessed. And he told Mephibosheth, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. He restored everything to him that his family once owned. Everything. Here he was in a desolate place. He had nothing. And now everything that his family had been restored to him. But the greatest thing was this, that he would spend the rest of his life eating at the king's table. I don't know about you, but that's something else. That's like, you know, kind of maybe living on the street, let's say, and homeless, and all of a sudden the king of England decides, hey, you're going to have dinner with me tonight. Wouldn't that be something else? We're going to fly you to Buckingham Palace, and you're going to have tea and crumpets with the king and the queen of England. My, wouldn't that be something else? Well, that's just basically what it is here. He was out in a desert, in a desolate place, and all of a sudden now he's going to eat with the king. Now that, my friends, is what grace looks like. That's grace. It's unmerited favor. David gave Mephibosheth everything, not because he deserved it, but because he wanted to give it to him. And he decided to be faithful to the promise that he had made to his best friend, Jonathan, and he followed through with it. And Mephibosheth benefited from something that he had nothing to do with whatsoever. And this story paints a beautiful picture of the grace of God. I love to hear stories like that. Not only stories in the scripture that talk about the grace of God, I like to hear current stories about the grace of God that's been extended to people in our day, in our time. I love to hear stories about that. I love to hear about people in the church, God's people, reaching out to those around us who need to see and understand and know the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. I love to hear stories about that. It's available, friends, to each and every one today. We got a world that seems to be graceless, but we have a grace-filled God that desires to show forth his love to a lost and dying world around us. And so we love to hear about those stories where there's no motives behind what we do. Sometimes it may be that people have motives. You say, why are you being so nice to me for? What gives? Hey, do you ever hear that sometimes? People's motives. Why are you being nice to me for? What's in it for you? Grace isn't about what's in it for you or for me. Grace is all about just doing it because we love God and we love people. That's what it's about. And so it's wonderful to hear about those stories. No motives. David didn't have anything to gain. He could have kept all of Saul's land for himself and said, I'm going to keep it. It's mine. He's conquered. He's done away with and gone. I'm going to keep it. But no, he gives it back to Mephibosheth. So the story, it's more than just this random act. It's more than that. It's more than just a random act of grace some 3,000 years ago. It's an illustration of God's grace that's available to all today. You know, so many times in the Old Testament, stories are illustrations of God's acts towards us, and this is just one of them. And God is represented in typical form by David here, and we are represented in typical form as Mephibosheth. We are Mephibosheth this morning. We are. That's the marvelous thing about the passage. It's speaking about each and every one of us here this morning. Oh, we may not be living in the ancient Near East. We may not have crippled feet, but we've been crippled since birth with something else. We've been crippled with a deadly disease. It's called sin. Oh, we don't like to hear about that today. Some people don't want to hear about sin. But that's the truth, friends. We're sinners. I think the sooner that we kind of fess up to that, the more the easier it is for us to be healed and we can be transformed by God's grace to admit that we're a sinner. We're crippled by it. It's a condition that we've been born with. We can't help ourselves. And we can't escape this sinful nature that we have. We can't even remember. Can you remember the first time you ever sinned? You can't. Some say the first time you ever sinned was when you started crying, when you came out of your mother's womb. I don't know about that. We can't remember our first sin, because sin has been so ingrained in us since birth. We're born with it. We can't help ourselves. Now, we may not be as bad as somebody else. We like to compare ourselves. Oh, he's a real sinner, that one over there. Oh, he's trouble, that one. I'm not too bad. I'm a light-hearted sinner. I'm a sinner light, you know? No, friends. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Even as we sit here this morning, we can recall maybe some of the sins from the past 24 hours. You think about just the last 24 hours, maybe some things that we said or did. And every day the weight of sin is on our shoulders. And when it goes unchecked and unconfessed, it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. And we try to do something about it. I said, well, I'll try and do better. I remember one time when I was a kid and I was going to Sunday school and I was getting in trouble on a regular basis, not in Sunday school, but at home. I said to myself, I'm going to do it. One day, I'm going to go the whole day without sinning. Well, that didn't last very long. Not long at all. I think within 5 minutes, I was already at it again. And we try to do better. We try to move one step forward, and then we step back two steps. And just when we think we're getting better, we stumble and we slip back into our old ways. Or we fall back even worse. And we look good on the outside. We put on a good face, but inside we're in Lo Debar. We're in that place of wilderness, that place of the desert. And our hearts are desolate and they're barren. And they're missing something that we can't nail down. And it haunts us. Some people are just haunted by the things of their past, and they don't know where to turn. Where do I go to find this relief? For some, it gets hard to get up every morning. Hard to get up every morning. The same old, another day is coming, just like the day before, a hopeless day. And they're trying harder, and it gets exhausting. And the act gets cold, and we resign ourselves to the fact that is this all that there is? Is this all that there is? It looks so hopeless. Now, I'm not trying to depress you today, but that's the reality of our world. Take a look around you. It's the reality of our world. Oh, it may not be spoken, but it's experienced. But there's good news when it comes to grace, because the amazing thing is it doesn't have to be this way. It's so easy. It really is so easy. Grace has been provided. But the human heart and the human condition says, oh no, I'm going to keep doing it my own way. And it doesn't seem to be working out. But hallelujah, there's a king that's looking out for you. Praise God. There's a king looking out for you. And this king's greater than any earthly king like David. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the one who created all of the universe, the earth, and he made you and me. He made a covenant on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. And his covenant was, whoever looks to me and believes, you're going to be free, free from your sin, cleansed and made whole. That's grace, free from sin. Free from desolation, free from barrenness, free from hopelessness. That's the marvelous thing of the gospel, the good news. And Jesus offers that grace to each and every person today. Doesn't matter who you are. Not because you deserve it or I deserve it. And not because we've earned it, we can't earn it. Not because you've changed your life and said, I'm going to clean myself up. Oh, Mephibosheth, I'm going to get my legs all fixed up and healed before I come. No, no, no. Can't happen that way. He can't change your life. He wants to offer it to you simply because of who God is. That's God's grace. He offers it because of who He is in light of who we are as those who are dead in our trespasses and sins. And He gives grace because He loves you. That's the most amazing thing. He gives His grace because He loves you. Isn't that the amazing thing? People need to hear more about the fact that God loves them. And He loves them so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He offers you a place at the King's table. Praise God. One day we're going to sit at the King's table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to eat. I don't know what we're going to eat. Well, the food's going to be real good, whatever it might be. Praise God. It's going to be wonderful. But the spiritual food will be even better. And it doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what culture you're from, doesn't matter whether you're male or female, doesn't matter about your past, doesn't matter about your upbringing. All He wants for you is to come to Him today. That's what He wants, just to come. Come and receive and ask. All I have to do is answer Him today. He's calling out to you today. He offers forgiveness today. He offers the escape from hopelessness today. He offers an escape from being behind the mask. And He offers a salvation in Jesus Christ today. And here's this wonderful thing with Mephibosheth. He responded to it. What a blessing. He responded to it. And he ate at the king's table every day of his life after that. And he was restored, and all of the things had been given to him. He had so much more than what he had before David had extended grace to him. We read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And His grace is there. It's here for anyone here this morning. And all we have to do is just turn and believe and receive it. That's all Mephibosheth had to do. Just receive it. And he did. He didn't say, "Oh, I don't want any of that. I don't want to be restored. I don't want any of my father's property. I don't want my grandfather's stuff. I don't want any of that." But that's exactly what it is like for someone who rejects the grace of God. All the riches and the forgiveness and the restoration, all these things are here for anyone this morning. How could we reject that and say, "No, I'd rather go on just being my old way"? Oh, there's something so much more better, because grace has been demonstrated. Grace in action. And that greatest grace was demonstrated on Calvary's cross. That's where it is, right there, for you and for me, that God demonstrated His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace in action. May it be each one of ours this morning, for His name's sake. Amen. Number 383. And at the end of our hymn, I'll have the two ladies come forward. We have some certificates to give to them and to extend to them the right hand of fellowship. Number 383. Shall we?
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. All who are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace?
You can go now.